Well, praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. What a mighty God we serve. The angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. It's Pastor Joshua M. Daniels of the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, located at 1300 East 50th Street, Los Angeles, California, 90011. And I'm excited to share the word of the living God with you. Mount Zion is a church where change happens every week. And if you're ever in the Los Angeles area, we invite you to join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. for a life-changing worship experience. You might come one way, but we promise you won't leave the same way you came. We pray that this message that you're getting ready to hear is going to be a tremendous blessing to your life. It's up from here. Joshua chapter 14, commencing our reading at verse 6, concluding and climaxing our reading at verse 15. I'm reading today from the New International Version of the Word of God. Maybe it's slightly different from yours, but if your book says Bible, you're in good company. This is how my Bible reads. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive. For 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old, and I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country." I learned that verse in the King Jimmy. King Jimmy says, "Now give me this mountain. Just give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I'll drive them out just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kereth Arab, after Arab, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war. Say amen for the reading. Amen. Verse 12, one more time. "Now give me this hill country. Now give me this mountain that the Lord promised me that day." If you don't mind, for the time that is also shall gather today, I want to tag this text with this thought in our minds. I won't mind. Will you find a neighbor to lift to the right? If you don't like him, you shouldn't have said, but it's too late now. And tell a neighbor, "I don't know about you, but I won't mind." That's the wrong neighbor. Find another neighbor and tell them, "Neighbor, I can't speak for you, but I won't mind." Lift those hands towards heaven and say, "Lord, speak. We need to hear." You may be seated in the presence of our good and gracious God. Allow me to start off by saying, friends, that my children never cease to amaze me. But sometimes it's almost as if I can hear God through their vocal cords. If you know my two oldest children, you know they are intelligent, witty, and hilarious. But every now and then, it's like I can hear God talking through them in our interactions. One such event took place just a few Sundays ago. My children's birthdays, my oldest two children's birthdays, are only 4 days apart. One 3 days before Christmas, one the day after. And because of their sibling competitiveness, you really can't do for one without doing for the other, because you better believe that the other is keeping score. And so the Sunday before my son's birthday, his Uncle Carl gave him a birthday blessing. Of course, it was the talk of the ride home, because his Uncle Carl's gift had caused his little pile of money to exceed that of his big sister's. But Jerrington remained cool, calm, and collected, because when she went to Uncle Carl that day, he told her, "You'll get yours next Sunday." But when the next Sunday arrived, she didn't see her Uncle Carl at church. And when she came into my office after church, she said to me, "I can't find Uncle Carl." I said, "Well, you wasn't supposed to come to church looking for Uncle Carl anyway. You're supposed to come looking for Jesus." She said, "But I can't find him." I said, "Baby, I don't think he made it today." She looked up at me and said, "But he gave Joshua a gift last Sunday. And he told me he would give me one this Sunday." She looked up at me and said, "And Daddy, I want mine." Church, I wanted to laugh, but the Holy Ghost started messing with me. The Holy Ghost arrested me in my tracks and began to talk to me about this sermon today, because when that little girl said, "I want mine," all she was saying was, "I was made a promise, and I want what was promised to me." In church family, the Holy Ghost started messing with me and said, "That's how there ought to be. People ought to be when God makes them a promise, that the people of God should have so much faith in God that whatever he promised to them, their testimony ought to be, 'I want mine.'" Let me tell you up front today, if God has not made you any promises, this sermon is not for you. But I came today to preach to some people who God has made some promises to. And God told you that he was going to do some things in your life. And you've watched other people be blessed. And you've watched other people move forward. And you've watched other people advance. And today you came to church saying, "I want mine. I want my joy. I want my peace. I want my healing. I want my prosperity. I want my increase. I want my destiny. I want my provision. I want my relationship. I want my house. I want my car." And maybe today you didn't come wanting anything, but I came today to tell you my testimony is, I want mine. I want everything that God has promised to me. Because here's a little proposition for today's sermon today, Phyllis Johnson. Here it is. Real faith holds on to and takes hold of the promises of God. That's the proposition. Real faith holds on to and takes hold of the promises of God. That's what's happening in the text. Today in our text, the children of Israel have finally taken possession of the promised land. I know that most of us think that the story of Israel taking possession of the promised land ends in Joshua chapter 6 when the walls of Jericho fall down flat. But if you continue to read your Bible, you will discover, friends, that Joshua chapter 7 through 11 chronicles for us the victories that Joshua and the people had as they faced the various Canaanite groups of giants so that they can take possession of their promise. Chapter 12 then lists all of their victories. And chapter 13 tells us about the areas of the promised land that were still unconquered, and it begins the distribution of land to the tribes of Israel as each tribe receives their own inheritance. By the time we get to our text in chapter 14, verse number 6, the tribe of Judah has come forth for their allotment of land. There's a brother by the name of Caleb who stops the distribution. And Caleb stops the distribution and says, "I want mine." Caleb tells Joshua, this mountain or this hill country was promised to me 45 years ago, and I still want it now. You see, we meet Caleb 45 years prior to this text in Numbers chapter 13. The Numbers chapter 13, that Moses sends out 12 spies so that they can gain intel on the promised land. And when the spies come back, they have a report. Here's the report. The land is good. The grapes are great, are huge, but there are giants in the land. And the text says that 10 of the spies are so afraid of the giants that they cast votes to stay in the wilderness. But Joshua and Caleb, who are the minority, they are the only two who say, "We can take the land." Why? Because they weren't looking at the giants, they were looking at the grapes. They said, "We can take the land." Yet the majority wins, and the people of God are stuck in the wilderness. Yet God made a promise that the two who believed, Joshua and Caleb, that they would be the only two who would see the promised land. Of all who came out of Egypt, only two would make it into the promised land. And between Numbers chapter 13 and Joshua chapter 14, 45 years have passed. And in those 45 years, Caleb's been through some stuff. Those 45 years, Caleb has had to deal with disappointment. Because for 45 years, Caleb had to live in the desert knowing that the promised land was only a few miles away. What a disappointment to live with less when you know God has more. Those 45 years, he didn't just deal with disappointment. He had to deal with death. Because, Debbie Troy, for 45 years, Caleb has to watch people he loved die because they did not believe the promise of God. The truth is, too much death for anybody will cause him to lose hope. But not only has he dealt with disappointment and death, but he's been dealing with delay. Because Caleb had to wait 45 years to live where he could have been living the whole time because he couldn't go in until everybody else died. How frustrating to be delayed from what you know is within your grasp because other folk don't believe. He's dealt with disappointment. He's dealt with death. He's dealt with delay. But can I give you the shout of the day? Here's the shout. The disappointment, the death, and the delay did not cause Caleb to have disbelief, but rather it caused him to remain determined, and he still wanted what God had promised to him. And can I tell you why I'm preaching this morning? Because there's somebody in here today like Caleb. You've been waiting on something for a while now. God made you some promises a while ago, and you've been waiting and praying and praying and waiting, and you've had to deal with disappointment and death and delay on the way. And I know that the world has taught us to give up if a thing is taking too long, and that if it's taking too long, then obviously it's because it's not supposed to happen or it's never going to happen. But I came to tell you today that the devil is a liar, that if God said he was going to do something, I don't care how long it takes, you've got to always trust and believe that it's still going to happen. This Sunday, I've come with another nugget for your new year. Because this year, you don't just need to live in the peace of God. And this year, you don't just need to prioritize the presence of God. But this year, you got to hold on to the promises of God. Because here's the little thesis for my little sermon today. Faith understands that just because I've had to wait for it doesn't mean God will not keep his word. Therefore, I never stop trusting or believing that the promise of God will come to pass. And I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but I came prophetically to tell somebody it's still going to happen. I know it's taken a long time, and I know things have been difficult, and I know your situation has gone from bad to worse, and I know you've dealt with disappointment and death and delay, but God told me to tell somebody it's still going to happen. Will you help me to preach to your neighbor and just put that word down your road? Look at somebody and tell them it's still going to happen. No, you ain't talking to nobody. I said, look at somebody and tell them it's still going to happen. God is still going to do what he said. God is still going to save your family members. God's still going to heal that body. God's still going to make a way. God's still going to open a door. God's still going to give you that business. God's still going to release that book. God's still going to help you to start the company. God said, if I said it, it's going to happen. Might take a while, but if God said it, it's only a matter of time until you see what he said. Y'all don't want to have no church. And can I tell you why I'm preaching this? Because this year I want another one of your mottos for the year to be, I want mine. I'm preaching this today because I want a church full of people who want everything that God has for them. Yeah. See, I want you to know quickly that if you don't want nothing from God, you might really need to find you another church, because this is a church where we're about to go after every single thing that God has for us. That's why I know some of you don't understand why this week I asked Bishop Walker to lay hands on me the other night. It's because I believe in impartation, and God made some promises to me when I was a little boy, and in 2023 and beyond, I'm going after everything that God promised me. And I asked Bishop to lay his hands on me because he got his mountain and I want my mountain. And I don't know if there's anybody else in this church today. You may not want yours, but I want mine. I want every promise God has made to me to come to pass. I want to have everything God has spoken into my spirit. I'm done shouting about having millionaire potential. I'm ready to walk in millionaire status. I'm done dreaming about it. It's time to be. I want. Is there anybody other than me in this church who can say this is the year that I'm not just valuing my peace, I'm not just prioritizing God's presence, but I'm going to take hold of God's promise. I want whatever God has for me. This text teaches it don't matter if it takes 45 years, it's still going to happen. And so here's your take-home truth, and I'm almost done because y'all ain't happy. Here the take-home truth. I should have played one of the DVDs from Revival and we could have stayed at home. Here the last one. Here your take-home truth. God's promises don't always come soon, but they are always sure and will come to pass. That's my whole sermon in a sentence. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but that's what I came to tell you. God's promises don't always come soon, but they are always sure, and they will all come to pass. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but that's all I came to tell you, is that God does not always do it when you think he will, but if you keep trusting him, you'll go from waiting on it to walking in it. That's the whole sermon. But since I read the text, let me preach the text. So here's the question. So how do I possess my promise? Pastor Dennis, how am I going to take hold of all this stuff God has for me? Anybody interested? Three things I see in this text, I'll share them with you, and we'll be on our way. Here's the first one. If you're going to possess your promise this year, the first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to learn how to make a request. Everybody say, make a request. Come on, say it again. Say, make a request. Mama Arnold, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is James 4 and 2. Robin, it's there that James says these words. You do not have because you do not ask God. I like that. Because that scripture really suggests to us, friends, that your miracle is in your mouth. That what you don't have is normally because you don't have enough faith to ask for it. But I came to tell somebody that 2023 is the year that you need to open up your mouth and tell God what you want. This is the year for you to open up your mouth and make your requests known to God. Why? Because here's the word for 2023, and I hope you hold on to it. God told me to tell somebody that in 2023, closed mouths will equal closed doors. But open mouths will open doors, because this year your miracle is in your mouth. Your manifestation is in your mouth. Your money is in your mouth. And God says you can have it if you can ask for it. Did you hear what I just said? I said, God, see, y'all supposed to be turning over these green pews, because I just told somebody that God's word to you is that this year you can have it if you got enough faith to ask for it. So, can I show it to you the text? It's right there in verse 12. Caleb says, give me this mountain. Some translations say, give me this hill country. Other translations say, give me this region. I love it because this, first of all, friends, is a request that is particular. Notice, Caleb doesn't say, give me a good amount of land. No, Sammy, Caleb doesn't say, I'll take any mountain you may have. Caleb doesn't say, Mr. Joshua, if you find it in you to bless me with one of those mountains over there, I'd greatly appreciate it. No, Caleb is clear. I don't want that mountain. I don't want the one over there. I want the one around there. Give me this mountain.
Love it. Because Caleb is showing us, church, that we got to stop praying vague prayers. Because see, some of y'all just praying for a mountain. But God's word to you is that you shouldn't just want a mountain, because you don't know what's on a mountain. You ought to want the mountain that God promised you. You ought not want somebody else's business. You don't know what they're going through. You ought not want somebody else's house. You don't know what they got to deal with. You ought not want somebody else. You ought to want what God has for you. And I love it, because what he is really saying to us in this text is that this is the year to start making some particular requests. Stop telling God you want more money and start telling God how much money you want. Stop telling God you want a car and tell God to kind of car you want. Stop telling God you want a place to live and tell God exactly the house you want to live in. Stop telling God you just want to be with somebody, and you better tell God to somebody you want, because some of you keep telling God you want more money, but if God just let you get $100 more this year, you're going to be mad at God, but $100 more is more. Some of y'all been talking about, God, I want a car, but if God just give you a lemon that put back and down the street, you're going to be talking about God didn't bless you, but you didn't ask for a Benz, you just said you wanted a car. Some of y'all keep saying, God, I want somebody. But when God give you Ike Turner Jr. to tell you to eat the cake anime, you're going to be mad when he busting your head to the white meat show. But don't be upset. You just asked for somebody. You didn't tell God what you wanted. This is the year where you got to tell God what you want. Well, I guess that's why the old saint said, Jesus is on the main line. Tell him.
Now tell him what I want. But know that, but don't miss this. Don't miss this, friends. Don't miss this. Cheryl, it's a request that's particular, but don't miss this. It's a request for a promise. Patricia Kane, don't miss this. Caleb makes his case for the request right there in verse 6 through 9 and in verse 12. He tells Joshua, you remember what God said. That Moses, God told Moses to tell him that one day, I was going to have this mountain. God promised him that the place that your feet touched will one day be your family's territory. I love it, because what Caleb is saying is, I don't just want this mountain because it's a mountain. I want it because God said I could have it. In other words, Caleb is saying, I'm expecting God to make good on his promise to me. In other words, Caleb is saying, I'm not just asking for any mountain. I want the mountain that God said was mine, because I believe if he said he was going to do it, he's supposed to do it. In essence, Caleb is saying, now God, you said it. Y'all don't want to have church. And can I tell you something? 2023 ought to be the year that you pray some, now God, you said it kind of prayers. This year, you ought to tell God, now, God, you said I was going to be blessed in the city. I was going to be blessed in the field. I was going to be blessed when I come and when I go. God, you said I was going to be the head and not the tail. God, you said I would be the lender, not the borrower. God, you said I would be above and not beneath. God, you said I would have all my needs met or supplied according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God, you said that all things were going to work together for my good. God, you said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you would deliver them out of them all. God, you said that after I have suffered for a little while, that you were going to establish me and settle me. God, you said that if I paid my tithes, that you would open up the windows of heaven and pour me out blessings that I wouldn't have room enough to receive. And I'm looking for somebody in this church today who can say, this year I'm expecting God to make good on his word. I'm looking for some folk who can say, this year I just want to see what he said. That this year I ain't looking for nothing special. I just want to see what he said. This year he ain't got to promise me nothing else. This year I just want every promise God made to me. Is there anybody other than me in this church who can testify that God promised me some stuff, and this is the year that I want to see what he said? But in order for me to see it, I got to open up my mouth and make a request. That Old Testament historian Walter Brueggemann says it this way. He said, God can only answer prayers that are prayed. Y'all don't want to have no church here. I said, Dr. Walter Brueggemann, that Old Testament historian, says, God can only answer prayers that are prayed.
In other words, God can do anything you ask for, but God can't do anything until you ask for it. I can ask you a question. What are you missing out on today? Because you won't open up your mouth and ask for it. That reminds me of old Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1, don't it? Hannah had never had a child, but her husband's other wife, Peninnah, had given him children. And Hannah went to church one day, and she was praying. She was praying so hard that the priest Eli thought she was drunk. But Hannah told him, no, priest, don't blame it on the alcohol. I'm a woman with a broken heart, and I got a particular request. She told the man of God, I want a son. And can I give you the shout? Y'all ain't ready to shout. If you miss this shout, I promise you I'm closing my iPad. I'm going home. I'm tired already. Y'all ready for the shout? Hit a shout. When she opened her mouth, God opened her womb. Y'all ain't come to have no church. I said when she opened her mouth, God opened up her womb. And I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I came to tell somebody this is the season for you to open up your mouth. This is the season for you to put it in the atmosphere, for you to tell God exactly what you need. Because God says if you open your mouth, I open the door, I open up influence, I open up increase, I open up prosperity, I open up joy, I open it up for you if you just ask me for it. Let me try it this way. Y'all ain't happy. When I was living in Beaumont, there's these sausages called Zumo sausages. I know some of y'all ain't never had them. And I'm praying. I'm sorry for you. I feel sorry for you that you've never been able to eat a Southeast Texas sausage. I'm sorry. It's okay. God will bless you one day. I'll get you some at the graduation if you come. Here it is. And Zumos are a Southeast Texas delicacy. They real good. And as a consequence, this lady, I went to Market Basket one day, and there was this black lady that was in Market Basket causing a scene. I got to be honest, whenever I see a black woman causing a scene, I'm going to stop and watch. You understand? I love a good show. Y'all don't want to have no church. And so so I stayed and I watched as she was causing a scene, and she was telling this brother, she said, "Hey, man, I want one of them Zumos. I need a pack of Zumos." He said, "Ma'am, we don't have any Zumos." She said, "Sir, I want a pack of Zumos." He said, "No, we don't have any Zumos. Whatever is out here is what we have." She said, "I know you're lying because I saw the Zumo truck pull off when I was pulling in." She said, "So you need to go in the back and find me one of them packs of Zumos because I know it's some Zumos here." Would you know that brother went into the back. He found not just one pack. He brought that woman out two packs and told her, "You can leave. You ain't even got to pay for them. These two are on me." That woman got her two packs of sausages and walked out talking about, "I got what I came for." Can I tell you something? If a woman can go that crazy about sausage, I'm looking for somebody in this church today who can say, "It's something I need from God, and I won't leave here with it." I'm looking for somebody who can say, "I ain't gonna do it about no Zumo, but I will do it about my miracle. I will do it for my promise that there's something I need from God. And before I leave this church this morning, I made up in my mind that I can't leave here without it." And if you need something from God, I dare you to lift your hands, throw your head back and tell him what you need. Come on, right where you are, open up your mouth and make your request. Come on, tell him, "I need you to save my kids. Tell him I need you to pay my bills. Tell him I need you to regulate my mind. Tell him I need you to give me some strength. Tell him I need you to give me joy. I need you to give me direction. I need you to give me peace. I need you to give me clarity. I need you to touch my mind, touch my heart, touch my soul." Make your request, because if you open your mouth, he will open. I'm getting happy in here. He will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings. 2023 is the year where closed mouths equal closed doors. Open mouths are going to open doors. Look at your neighbor and tell them your miracle's in your mouth this year. Yeah. This year, it's in your mouth. No. It ain't in your money, it's in your mouth. Y'all don't want to hear me. It ain't in your mind, it's in your mouth. This year, God says you're going to have to open up your mouth and ask, because you have not. Because you asked not. All right. Number two. I'm preaching.com in here. It's okay. Y'all ain't got to tell me. Number two. If you're going to possess the promise, Mama Hawkins, got to make a request. Hit a second one, Maria. If you're going to possess the promise, second thing you got to do is you have to maintain your resolve. Everybody say maintain your resolve. I'm cutting across the field. I said this a couple Sundays ago on the first Sunday of the year, and it bears repeating today. There is a difference between strong faith and long faith. See, some of y'all remember. There's a difference. Strong faith believes God can. But long faith believes until God does, no matter how long it takes. And when you have long faith, friends, you have to maintain your resolve. In other words, you can't allow time or trouble to shake your trust. But you got to make up in your mind that I'm resolved to trust God, that no matter what comes my way, I got the testimony of old saints, I will trust in the Lord until I die. And I'm looking for some folk in this church today who can testify, I'm going to maintain my resolve this year. I'm looking for some people who can say, this year some things may not work. People may die. Life may deal me with some disappointments. I might lose the job. Might have to face a natural disaster. I don't know what might happen this year. But what I do know is won't happen this year. And what won't happen this year is that I won't lose my faith and my trust in God. That I'm going to trust in the promises of God for me. My life and over my life, no matter how long, how things look, no matter how things get, no matter how things feel, and no matter how long it takes, I will maintain my resolve and continue to trust that God's promises will be manifested in my life. Can I show it to you the text? Can I show it to you the text? I mean, when I start making this stuff up, y'all let me know. Can I show it to you the text? Look, text. Caleb announces his resolve in verse 8. Caleb says, I came back with a report that we should go into the land. But the majority said we shouldn't go into the land. And they discourage everybody from going into the promised land. But Caleb says, but I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. That phrase here in the Greek literally means Caleb was saying, I never stopped believing. I love that because Caleb is letting us know, you ready for it? Caleb is teaching us a powerful lesson that internal faith should not be shook by external factors. That if I truly believe God, then it doesn't matter what I see, I trust what he said. That no matter who doesn't believe, it won't stop me from believing. And I love it because in this text there in verse 10, Caleb lets us know how he has maintained his resolve. Notice what Caleb says. He says, waiting couldn't take my resolve. Caleb says, I was 40 when I made my first trip over into Canaan. When God made me my promise. He says, I'm 85 now, but I still believe. Do y'all see this Bible? Caleb has been waiting on God for 45 years. Some of us can't wait on God for 45 days. Some of us give up after 45 weeks. Some of y'all don't have enough patience to watch a 45-minute television show. Y'all don't want to have no church with me. But Caleb has been waiting on God for 45 years. Why? I'm glad you asked. It's in the text. Because Caleb wholeheartedly follow the Lord his God. You see, friends, when you wholeheartedly follow God, it doesn't matter how long it takes. Why? Because the wait can't make you forget your word. And I'm looking for some folk in this church today who can testify that the wait won't make me forget my word. That I don't care how long it takes, I won't stop believing that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. Because I'm looking for somebody in this church today who knows that waited time is never wasted time. That if you wait on God, he will come through for you. Isn't that? What the man whose birthday is today that we will celebrate tomorrow, he would have turned 94 years old today. Is that not how Dr. King felt? He said in his famous and final, I've been to the mountaintop speech. Dr. King said, I may not get there with you, but I know our people will make it to the promised land. I like that because what he was saying was waiting can't take my resolve. And I'm glad because he was right because he didn't get to see it. But we done put a black man in the White House. There's a black woman who's the vice president. And today, the four largest cities in America, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, and H-Town, baby, they all have black mayors. I dare you to tell somebody it was worth the wait. Why? Because if you keep waiting on God, that'll be your testimony too. It's worth the wait. And I'm looking for somebody in this church who can testify, you know what, Reverend, I had to wait for a season, but I'm so glad I waited, because when I waited, it was worth the wait. Know who I'm preaching to today, but I can't tell somebody, just wait for it. Don't settle, wait. Don't move too quick, wait. Don't compromise, wait. Don't change your standards and values, wait. Because they, I'm getting happy, because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They're going to mount up on wings as eagle. They're going to run and not get weary. They're going to look at somebody and tell them, wait on him. All right, get other one, get other one, get other one. Pop Arnold, I ain't gonna lie. While I was writing this point, this next one, it made me think of you. Here it is, I'm done. He says, waiting can't take my resolve. But here the other one. He said, warfare can't take my resolve. Mache is about to shout me. Watch it. Oh. Caleb tells Joshua, he says, I know there's still some giants in the land, but I ain't tripping on the giants now, just like I wasn't tripping on them then. Said, last time I went, I wasn't tripping on them in Numbers 13, and now I ain't tripping on them now. Matter of fact, Caleb is telling Joshua two things. Don't miss it. Caleb is telling him, I still got the strength to fight. Look, Caleb said, I wish a giant would. Y'all don't want to. Okay. I'm preaching it here. Caleb says, I'm still as strong today as I was when I first went to Canaan. He says, when I was 40, I was strong. The day I'm 85, and I'm still just as strong right now. He says, some years have passed. My youth has passed. He said, but I still got the strength I need to stand against some giants. And I'm looking for some folk in this church today. Now, this part of the sermon ain't for my young folk. I'm looking for my 65 and up now. This part of the sermon, I'm looking for some older folk in the church today who can say, don't get it twisted now, boo-boo. I'm a little older now. I walk a little slower now. It takes me a little longer to do certain things now. But don't you get it twisted. I still got some fight in me. I'm looking for some folk in this church today who can testify. Yes, I done got a little older. But if you bring a giant my way, you will find out that I still got the strength I need to handle the giant. I'm looking for somebody in this church who can testify that this is the year that you're going to have to face some giant, but you still got the strength you need. Will you look at your neighbor and tell him, I still got it. Y'all ain't preaching to nobody. I said, look at somebody and tell him, I still got it. Yeah, my hair might be a little gray. Matter of fact, I might be missing some hair now. I know that right now I got a good side and a bad side. But you better know that if you bring a giant my way, I'm going to kill that giant, because I still got what it takes to do what I need to do. And I'm looking for somebody in this church today who can say, that's why I'm shouting this morning, because I still got it. I still got joy. I still got vigor. I still got peace. I still got love. I still got creativity. I still got ideas. I still got drive. I still got goals. I still got dreams. I still got aspirations. Don't you let the gray hair fool you. I still got it. He says, I still got the strength to fight. He said, I got to go. I'm getting happy. Let me move. But not only is he saying, I still got the strength to fight, but he says, here the other reason I ain't scared of no giants, because I'm still sure of the Father. Look what he said. I'm preach boy. Look what he said. It's in verse 12. It's at the end of verse 12. He says, Anakim are there with great fortified cities. He says, but the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord says. In other words, Caleb is saying, I know they got giants, but I got something that the giants don't got. Caleb says, I know it's some giants over there. He says, but I got something working for me that the giants ain't got working for me. What? See, he says, see, the mountain got giants, but I got God. And as long as I got God, then I ain't worried about the giants. Why? Because I got a funny feeling that the God who sustained me long enough to get to the war is the same God who's going to give me success in the war. And I'm looking for some folk in this church who can testify that 2023 is the year that I'm putting all my chips on God. That this year I'm going to retain my resolve. Why? Because I know my God is trustworthy. And I'm looking for somebody in this church that knows that the same God that would have gave him victory at 40 is the same God who give me victory at 85. Which means what? I'm resolved because I got a relationship. Because I'm sure of the Father, it can't shake my faith. I'm looking for somebody to say, this year, I'm still sure of the Father. Some stuff done happened in my life. Some stuff tried to shake my faith, but I still believe God. And since I still believe God, I know it's going to be all right. Let me try it this way. I heard an old preacher tell a story years ago. About this father who had two children. He had a little son and he had a little daughter. His little daughter was much smaller than the son. And then one day, the little daughter and the son were playing in the house when the father got home. And the daughter couldn't get to the father fast enough. The son ran to the father. And the son held on to the father, was hugging the father. And the son looked at his daughter, at his sister, and said, see, I got all of daddy. And the little girl started crying. And her daddy told her, come here, baby. He picked up the little girl, put on his knee, took his big old arm, and wrapped it around his baby girl. And the baby girl looked at her brother and said, see, you got all of daddy, but daddy got all of me. And I'm looking for somebody who can testify that that's my testimony this year. The reason I'm trusting is because daddy got all of me. I'm trusting this year because I'm giving all my trust to God. He got my mind. He got my heart. He got my soul. He got my spirit. He got my body. He got my money. He got my house. He got my car. He got my job. He got my spouse. He got my kid. Whatever I got, it all belong to daddy. So I'll do what he say do. I'll go where he say go. I'll do. Why? Because I don't have another option but to trust and obey him. And this year I will maintain my resolve. And no matter what, daddy gonna come through for me. I'm through. Y'all don't like this sermon today. I'll try next Sunday. Here it is. Here's the last one. You possess your promise when you're able to make a request. You possess your promise when you're able to maintain your resolve. But here's the shout. If you make a request and maintain your resolve, here's the last one. The master will reward. Will you say with me, say, the master will reward. I'm cutting across field. But we've heard that serving the Lord will pay off after a while. And that's led us to believe that the blessings of God are only for heaven. But I came to tell somebody today, serving the Lord don't just have to pay off in heaven. It can pay off right here. Because this text teaches that when you make requests and maintain your resolve, the master will reward you. Notice what happens in the text. Can I show you the text? Verse 14 says that Hebron became Caleb's inheritance because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord. Don't miss that. In other words, the mountain becomes his reward for his faithfulness. He's faithful to the Father. Don't miss that, friends. You will never possess your promise. You can go ahead and give me some chords. I'm done. You'll never possess your promise if you're not faithful to the Father. Because like I said last week, you cannot have the blessings of God without the God who blesses. And God's word to somebody today is, I can give you your promise, but can you give me you? God says, this year is the year. I want to bring manifestation. But before I bring manifestation, I need to have a repossession. I need to get you back. God says, I want you to wholeheartedly follow me. And watch what happens. When he's faithful to the Father, two things happen for him. You ready? Here's the first one. If you're faithful to the Father, he says, here's the first thing that happens. You will possess the promise. I'm in the text. Verse 12 says, so Joshua blessed him and gave him that mountain. Hebron became the possession of him and his family for generations to come. Don't miss it. God promised it to him, and he got it. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but I came to tell you this is the year you going from promise to possession. Come on, lift those hands. God told me to tell somebody this is the year you're going from promise to possession. Come on, Tony, give me that music. He says, you're going from promise to possession. This is the year where God says you've waited on it, but now you're about to walk in it. And it might have taken 45 years, but God left you long enough to be able to walk in it. I don't know who I'm talking to in here today, but will you help me to prophesy to your neighbor and tell your neighbor you're about to walk in it? I'm really prophesying. I'm about to start crying in here. I said, look at somebody and tell them you're about to walk in it. This is the year you're going to walk in it. This is the year you are moving from waiting for it to walking in it. What I'm walking in, Pastor, new authority, new doors, new peace, new influence, new joy. I'm walking into that business. This is the year I'm going to be like Pastor McFarland said the other night. This is the year I'm stepping out the boat. But can I give you one more shout and I'm through? Because he was faithful to the Father. He possessed the promise. Hit the last one. Because he was faithful to the Father. Here's the last one, Tiff. He won the war. How do you know? How do you know? How do you know? Standing to your feet, church. I'm almost done. How do you know he wins the war? Because I read the Bible. And verse 15 says, notice the last verse, the last words of verse 15. And the land had rest from war. The only reason the land can have rest from war is because ain't no more giants. Because obviously, Caleb done took care of the giants. Hold on. At 85 years old. Because God says, hear this, lift those hands. God says, this is not just going to be your year of possession, but God says, this is going to be your year of victory. God says he's about to give you victory. Hear me in the Holy Ghost, church. I need you to receive this. God said he's getting ready to give you victory that's going to be uncommon, but undeniable. The victory that's coming to your life this year, it's not going to be normal. There's no reason you should have been able to get it, but it will be undeniable. No one will be able to deny that you won. Why? Because you're going to have your mountain to prove it. When I possess the promise, it is the sign that the worst is over. And the best is yet to come. So with hands lifted, I need you praying, church. Tell the Lord, this year I want mine. I want everything you promised me. And I know I've had to wait. I know there'll be warfare. I know there's a fight I gotta have. But I still got what it takes to go through the fight. And this is my year to take possession of the promise. This is the year I'm done shouting about what's on the way, and I'm gonna live in it. This year I'm holding on to God's promise, but I'm not just holding on. Don't forget the proposition. I'm not just holding on to it, I'm taking hold of it. God told me to tell somebody today is the day he's delivering you from finna. You ain't finna do nothing. You gon' get it. Y'all ain't talking. You're not about to do nothing. This is your season to take possession of the thing that God promised you. Hands lifted, just begin to worship him all over this house. Come on, just begin to worship him. For every mountain you brought me over. For every trial, you've seen me through. For every blessing, I say hallelujah. For this, hallelujah. Come on, church, we're getting ready to go. But come on, let's worship him on our way home today. For every mountain, you brought me over. You've seen me through. Yeah. For every blessing, I say hallelujah. For this, I come on, all over this house. Come on, everybody, lift your hands, throw your head back and sing it. For every mountain. Come on, worship him, church. For every trial, you've seen me through. For every blessing, hallelujah. For this. Come on, we about to go. But one time, everybody real big. Come on. For every mountain, you brought me over. For every trial, you've seen me through. For every blessing, I got a hallelujah in my soul. For this, come on, one time, no singing. Let's just worship. Come on, worship him for every mountain. Come on, this is your turn now. Tell him, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that this is the year I'm going from promise to possession. I survived for a reason. I'm still alive because I cannot die until I possess what you promised me. You cannot die until you possess what he promised. You better hear me. You cannot die until you possess what he promised. You cannot die. Come on. For every mountain. For every blessing, hallelujah.
Lift those hands. So, Father, I pray now for every person under the sound of my voice. Let this be the year they go from waiting on it to walking in it. May this be the year that every promise you have declared over their life comes to pass. May this be the year that they no longer shout because it's coming, but they shout because it's here. May this be the year that they no longer praise you on credit, but they will praise you for that which they already have received. That this is the year of manifestation. This is the year of possession. We shall have what you said we shall have. We shall be who you said we shall be. We shall do what you said we shall do. We shall go where you said we shall go. We shall have
have what you said we shall have, and so shall it be. It is so, and so shall it be. This is our year for possession and manifestation. And on this Sunday morning, we won't wait until the battle's over. But on this Sunday morning, we've got a praise we've got to let out. On this Sunday morning, we've got a glory we want to let out, because we are grateful that this is our year of manifestation. This is our year of possession. And we will not wait until the battle is over. But we will shout. We will give you glory. We will bless your name. We will praise you. We will shabak you. We will lift you. We will magnify you. We will exalt you. We will extol you. Because this is our year of manifestation. Station. This is our year of possession. This is our year where the promise is coming to pass. And so we give you glory. And so we give you glory. And so we give you glory.
Well, listen, we're out of time, but not out of truth. We pray something was said today that is going to change the trajectory of your life forever. If you have never met Jesus Christ before, now is a great time for you to get to know him. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner, but I believe that you died. Come into my heart. Make me new. I want to live for you. My brother, my sister, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, I want you to know that you've been saved. And him who the Son sets free is free indeed. Listen, if you want to learn more about our ministry, or you want to give to support our ministry and help us to continue to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with the world, then go to our website, www.mountmtzionla.org. That's www.mountmtla.org. We're so grateful to God that you have tuned in, and we hope that your life will forever be blessed. It's up from here.